Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Life Powerfully with your co-hosts Raj Shell and Dr. Perletta Ramos, where our conversations engage and inspire you to stand in your power, express your passion, and live your purpose.
Today we're continuing our conversation about the power of our thoughts and thinking. The title of the show for today is called Change Your Choices, Change Your Life. And Raj, you and I did a workshop a long time ago on that very title. Do you remember?
Yes, that was an amazing workshop. I love that.
For our listeners, it was about consciously directing your thoughts to expand your life. And actually, the conversation that Raj led last week is what inspired us to further this conversation, because it impacts, our thinking impacts every aspect of our lives and who we are and how we feel about ourselves, and so we thought it warranted additional time. Now, there's a book called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself that Dr. Joe Dispenza wrote. He's a chiropractor and neuroscientist, and he talks about new research regarding the brain and the body and mind and consciousness and the quantum field, for those of our listeners who are into that sort of thing. But the purpose of the book is this idea that says we're not fixed and limited like researchers may have thought before into a person or personality, but we actually can expand on the possibilities of how we move toward our real potential and optimal health. We do create a personality, you know, the ego, as we grow up, but it's not finite. Now, it might take some effort to shift who we think we are, but we can do this. And in many cases, it's just as simple as changing our minds, and I'll say slowing down enough to change our minds, because most of us, and I'll say most of us because I truly believe this, most of the time we're reacting from this automatic pilot, right? We are stuck in a habit or routine. We're not even sure that we're stuck in a habit and routine because we're so busy. We don't even think about the habit or routine that we're in. And that habit and routine can keep us from actually living because we're acting like robots, which is why, you remember the movie The Matrix? Oh, my gosh, that movie was so powerful because, you know, just as a entertainment, it was powerful. But there was this other story it's telling about how many of us are plugged into the matrix and we act in a certain way. And we believe that we're acting out of free will. But the truth is we're not. We're just plugged into this larger computer screen. So that's the concept of the matrix, if people haven't seen the matrix. And in a way, that's how we sometimes act in our lives. We're acting like we're having free will, but every day we do the exact same thing. We get up at 6, we, you know, have some coffee, we go to work, and on the way to work we stop at Starbucks or Lola Coffee or the neighborhood place, and then we go to the office and we set our cup in the exact same place and we say hello to the exact same people. I could go on, but I won't bore you. But this idea is that we're in this fixed way of being, and sometimes we feel uncomfortable when something disrupts the apple cart because we're in the matrix. And it's not until we step out of the routine of our lives that we can discover more fully who we are and how we feel and what our thoughts might be, what may be motivating us, so that we can stop living from this place of the automatic pilot, so that we can be more present to our current experiences, so that we can then change our lives by increasing our level of self-awareness. Really, that's all we're talking about, is increasing our level of self-awareness, that being our emotions, our thinking, our motivators, so that we can make choices from that place. Maybe we'd like to try something new in our lives. Maybe there's a deeper purpose that we feel for who we are, but we don't get in contact and conscious contact with that deeper purpose because we're so busy being tuned into the matrix.
Okay, so Perletta, I just want to mention here that, we talk about habits, and one of the things that we want to really you know, that I'd like to emphasize is that it's not that habits are a bad thing, because research studies show that there are a lot of self-regulatory benefits of habits. There are lesser feelings of stress associated with habitual behavior. When there's non-habitual behavior, there's a certain amount of stress that we feel. So I think that if you had to think about everything as you're driving and as you're walking and as you're eating your food, and you know, it would become quite a chore. So we just want to realize that habits are not a bad thing. It is a self-regulation, things that work on automatic pilot. And part of our life will probably always be that. So we want to really focus on those things that are creating problems in our life.
Whenever we speak on this show, and I'm going to broad, you can tell me if you disagree, but we're never speaking of the outlying instance of being unbalanced. We're always talking about being balanced, mm-hmm. and how to create a sense of balance. And matter of fact, on that note, Raj, there's the autonomic nervous system in the body that does exactly what you're talking about. We don't have to think about how our heart functions, how our digestive mm-hmm. system functions, our respiratory rate, or our sexual arousal. Sometimes those things just pop up at any time. And so mm-hmm. in that mm-hmm. same sense, there's an unconscious self-regulating aspects of the body and who we are as human beings. That's perfectly normal and healthy. What I'm talking about is being plugged into the matrix as a concept. And when you're plugged in, you're not living your life fully and as present as you could be. You're not in tune with your purpose and a greater sense of joy, because you're automatically responding to life and things that occur for you in life. That's what we're talking about. So thank you for that clarification, Raj. I think this is incredibly exciting news for those who may not know this already, because most of us think of ourselves as fixed human beings, right? How many times have you heard someone say, or you may have said it yourself, this is who I am. This is my personality. I know I've said that. I'm just this way. And when we say things like that, we are really limiting our traits, even if they're positive traits. Or what would be deemed as positive traits, like, I'm an optimist, and I'm whatever the I'm is, because we're not fixed. We can be fixed, but we're not necessarily fixed. We are so multi-dynamic in who we are and how we're created. We have the opportunity to experience and to be whoever we choose to be, which is really the power of what's so exciting to me, of the capacity of the human spirit. But many times we collapse our patterns of thinking and feeling into a consistent way of responding. So that's the habit, quote unquote, that Raj was making sure we all knew that we weren't talking about the positive habits that we have. And you identify, and I identify, with these fixed ways of being, and that being who I am. But have you heard of the term neuroplasticity, Raj?
I have. And, you know, again, that concept that you're talking about of feeling like this is who I am, you know, it's kind of like that analogy of, are we big or are we small? Like, we are big, okay, and we are small at the same time, just like the earth is big and small at the same time. It depends on from where you're looking at it. So when we are feeling fixed, I think that's a necessary feeling too, for us to get rooted in something, for us to identify with something, and to get things accomplished in the world. We have to identify with them, and we have to feel like this is important. This is who I am right now in this moment. And we also have to look at our potentiality. You know, that is what is, and again, I love your point about the balance. It's about that balance. We have to feel that this is who I am to be able to accomplish. Like, I have to feel like I'm a mom to be able to really parent, but I am so much more than that, right? So I have to have that identity as a mom, but that's not all I am. But I, when I'm being a mom, it's like, yeah, this is who I am. I'm a mom. So it's about that balance and that shifting. There's not just one way to be.
I really appreciate the comment that you made about the big and the small, because that's a wonderful way to think of it. I think for those people who are Christians that are listening, there are references in the Bible to being in the world and not being of it. I think it's in Romans where it says, do not conform to the mm-hmm. patterns of this world, mm-hmm. be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what that really relates to is this idea, yes, we are in the world. We have tasks that we have to take care of every day. However, there's a way to be in this world that doesn't limit you to the materiality of the world, that doesn't limit you to the drama in this world, that doesn't limit you to the sickness of this world. There's a way to
yes.
be the little person in this world and then recognize who and what you really are, which is a full, spiritual, vibrant, ever-growing, or at least the capacity for growth, continual growth, being in this world, who has choices regardless of what your situations may be. And sometimes we forget that. We forget that we are this dynamic being in this world. We believe we are the name that we have, the title that we have, the place where we live, the car that we drive, the amount of money that we have or don't have. We identify so much with those things that we miss out on having a different experience, right? And the experience mm-hmm. being related to that big aspect that you're talking about. So
mm-hmm.
I wanted to introduce for our listeners the term neuroplasticity, because I always like to bring some research-based information to our conversations for those who like that, because we live in a world where people like to say, what does the science say? But the science suggests that the brain has the ability to reorganize itself by forming new neural connections throughout life. So this idea that we're this fixed person that can't evolve or change is not true from a scientific standpoint. And neuroplasticity is the term that defines this idea that our neurons and nerve cells in the brain can compensate for injury. People have nerve injury or brain injuries. They can evolve and grow. And that same thing exists for those of us who don't have brain injuries. We also can continue to evolve and grow who we are from a neurological standpoint. Now, why is that important? Well, because from a biological sense, we create, as I mentioned, these habits and patterns. And since we create them, we can uncreate them or we can create new ones. And as we do that, we get to evolve. Now, Raj, sometimes when we think about evolving, we think, oh, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's not always fun. It's not always fun.
Right. The reality is sometimes it's tough, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yes.
You know,
and then sometimes we have to remind ourselves, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'm evolving. That's why this is happening, you know, because we don't want to accept it.
We hear about those stories sometimes with people when they have a life-altering situation mm-hmm. and it happens within an instant and they're forever changed. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing. I know some of us, including me, would love to have that happen in multiple ways. And then there's really no effort. But the reality is it does sometimes take effort. It does mm-hmm. take effort to shift your personality and your thoughts about who you are. And the effort might start with, I am not fixed as a person. I have the capacity mm-hmm. to change this. That might be an effort for a number of people, because mm-hmm. we're so conditioned to feel limited in this material world. We're limited by time, space, is that little identification. The reality is you are unlimited in your capacity and the truth of who and what you really are. Shifting that way of thinking that then shifts that your way of being in the world and responding, reacting, and how you live your life isn't necessarily easy. it gets easier with practice, like most things. But, you know, that's I mentioned Dr. Dispenza. He talks about he has a quote that I love that says nerve cells that fire together, wire together. And I love that quote because it reminds me of what thoughts really are, which are chemical reactions in the brain. And so when I'm in a pattern that sometimes really feels good because we're feeding, you know, those neural networks in the brain, when I want to shift that, that's a part of why it feels hard. It reminds me because I'm going against a chemical reaction that I've created as a pattern. And it's nothing, this is how Proletta communicates. I'm not meaning to say it's not difficult because it is. But for me, it helps me to say to myself, I have an addiction to this way of being, Proletta, and so you're shifting the addiction. That helps me to get my mindset from a place of this is hard and I can't do it to a place of, oh, I'm having to overcome this pattern. And we all have to do things that are helpful to us, right? That affirmations may be helpful to some people. But the main point is to really understand that this biological way of thinking that we have wired in can be shifted. And we are empowered. We have all that we need within ourselves in order to make this shift or change our mind. Now, how do we change how we think, Raj? You spent some time talking about that last week, and I don't want you to have to reiterate it again. But it's, on one hand, it's very simple, and on another hand, it's rather complex.
Mm-hmm.
I asked you a question. I don't want to skip over it.
You know, it's really recognizing, right? Recognizing where you are, where your thought process is bringing you to an illusion, something which is not really rooted in reality. So that would be examples like jumping to conclusions or discounting and filtering or, you know, the should statements we have. I mean, where do those should statements come from? We personalize stuff and then we self-blame or we blame other people. You know, it's that all or nothing thinking or the, you know, just the emotional reasoning that we can do. So there's, at the thought level, there are just so many ways that we deceive ourselves, and to be able to know when we're, you know, habitually doing those things is I think one really powerful way to overcome some of these barriers that we have towards being able to be rooted in reality.
I love something that you just said. It's one of the things that I actually work on in my daily practice of being a human, and that is becoming aware. You know, that really it can be just as simple as becoming aware of our thoughts, especially our self-limiting and critical thoughts. Because up until our becoming aware of them, we actually believe that they're true, and then we live into them.
Right? Yes.
And I have a personal belief, and that is that most human beings are, we suffer from feelings of inadequacy. It's just a part of the human condition, a part of the frailty. And it may show up in a whole host of ways, you know, how we look, you know, how we identify, we want to look more attractive, or it might be in our way of thinking. We might not feel like we're smart, or we may not feel like we fit in, and our emotions, it shows up, whatever your thing may be, because I think we all have a something. And it comes from this place of being self-critical or limiting in my thought about myself. And unless you challenge that thought, you could be riddled with it for the rest of your life. And quite often, we don't challenge them because we believe that they're true. So simply becoming aware, that's why I mentioned, you know, it sounds easy, but it can be difficult. But on some level, it is really easy because it's like, oh, let me challenge those thoughts. Actually, what are my thoughts? What are the thoughts that are driving me? And sometimes they can drive you to, quote, unquote, success, at least from a material sense. For example, I used to work with a partner in a law firm who was driven to be successful because he felt like his father was a failure and grew up in poverty. And so he wanted to have more and to become successful. Now, he accomplished the goal, but what was driving him was an emotional sense of, you know, inadequacy and lack. We can actually achieve things from a place that doesn't rob us of our sense of who we are in a positive way. We don't. There's nothing wrong with motivators if that's what you want, so I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is what's behind that sometimes is a self-deprecating thought about who we are. And we can have whatever we'd like to manifest on this planet without coming from a self-loathing, self-deprecating place. So consciously committing to become aware of our thoughts and then changing our thoughts can then change our choices. And from that place, we can expand who we are, how we feel, and how we're being. So here's a personal example for me. I, like most folks that live in the world, I have challenges with stress. I tend to be busy. Most of my friends know that, and they kind of tease me, my family members, oh, you're so busy, which is kind of annoying, but I get it. So I've been looking at this deeper level conversation with myself. So what makes me, you know, run from 4 in the morning to, you know, most days 7 or 8 at night? I take very little breaks. My time is highly scheduled. I've been working with myself with this for about a year, consciously, recognizing at the very subtle level, how do I feel? Now, I used to feel, before I started doing this work, a sense of, like, excitement and adrenaline for my day because, you know, I'm like a type A person, and I had my thoughts, like, type A is the best because we get so much stuff done. Yeah, you know, literally, that's how I approached it. Because I was addicted to it, right? I only saw the positives because it helped me to become effective in my mind. But I never noticed how I felt tense internally sometimes and how I could, I had challenges with refraining from being busy. It was like an automatic response. That's just who I was. It's what I identified with. That was what I did. And as I work to just become aware, which is the first thing before shifting, truly shifting my way of being in the world with it, I became aware of these subtle things I had never noticed before. A, that it was stressful. I focused on the adrenaline. I didn't notice the harm that it was causing with my not getting enough sleep, my being, I'll say, stressed from a biological standpoint. And one of the most dangerous types of stress is the stress that we don't recognize because we can go on and keeping the body in that fight or, you know, flight syndrome, which can then lead to other chronic illnesses. And sometimes in my life, I would not recognize that was stress until something popped up, like, you know, short-term memory loss is one of the symptoms I've suffered in my life, as well as getting ulcers in my mouth. I got that in my early 20s, but I was in denial. That's not what that is. Oh, that was just. And so many, not all, but many health conditions occur as a result of stress. And so many of us are so busy, we don't really focus on it, but we feed it with other things, right, Raj? We feed it with alcohol. We might feed it with a little bud or weed. We might feed it with food or other types of behavior. We're feeding something. And we don't even know what we're feeding because it's become such a habit. So how do you change that?
Hmm. Well, you know, Perletta, one of the things that, you know, is really important is because we can become aware, and I love the point you brought up about, you know, we have to become aware. I think the next step is to be aware all the time. So having that mental vigilance, because how we're doing something, like, for example, you're mentioning how you're busy, right? That, or you have been, maybe you're not now, but are you busy when you're being busy? Because probably you're being busy even while you're being busy. Do you see what I'm saying? It's so having that mental vigilance that whatever you're doing, where all is it occurring in your life? And then the next step is anticipating the habit. So, okay, now I'm about to go into the habit, okay? And then you've got to substitute for the bad habit. You've got to substitute whatever it is, the good thing, right? So what I'm, what I really, you know, want to reiterate is awareness is not just being aware at that one time and changing it. You've got to be able to see where it's occurring in every part of your life. And I think that becomes the question of change.
Well, so can you say more about that?
Okay, so for example, in Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? So somebody can say, okay, they become aware that they're an alcoholic, right? And so then to have that mental vigilance, they have to say, okay, I must never forget even for a second that I'm an alcoholic. Okay, so that's where they make you say, okay, you're an alcoholic and you are always an alcoholic. And so then to anticipate that habit, you might say, okay, I just got home from work and a beer would really feel good right about now. And then substituting that to I'm an alcoholic, I'm not going to drink a beer, I'm going to take a bubble bath instead. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So you've got to have that kind of perseverance.
There are two pieces to it. One is becoming aware, which for many of us can be a significant challenge. But once we become aware, we have to consciously commit to changing our thoughts and then our choices, which is why our workshop was titled Change Your Choices, Change Your Life. You have to consciously commit to change your thoughts and then your choices. So even with my example with stress, I had to become aware that I was stressed because I was in denial that I was stressed because stress for me looked like people who couldn't handle their lives or couldn't handle their business. That's what I made it mean. I was handling a whole bunch of stuff. Clearly I wasn't stressed. Once I got past that hurdle, then I had to commit to recognizing that I needed to make a change for my overall health and well-being. And that was every day. You know, sometimes every moment of every day. So absolutely, it's not just a level of awareness. It's actually been changing. And that change process also occurs from a habitual standpoint. We have to do it over and over and over and over again until we change that neuroplasticity, right? We change how we're wired. It can actually happen. That's why people celebrate. You mentioned the alcoholic piece, but that's why people celebrate. Oh, I've been, you know, off of, you know, drugs or alcohol for 1 year or 5 years or 10 years. They made a habit of their new life choice. And it's to be celebrated because it's not easy in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, so many of us wait for some crisis or trauma or loss before we begin to think about changing who we are or what we do or how we feel or why we're living the way we're living at a deeper level. You don't have to wait. You have the ability and the power to do that right now. And so two main points we want to leave our listeners with today. A, the first one is your subjective or internal experience impacts your objective external world. Let me say that again because I kind of botched that up. Your subjective internal experience impacts your objective external world. This is very important. And the second one is our emotions are often tied to our thoughts, although we may not be aware of this fact. So becoming aware and then choosing to make a change in your life will make all of the difference in the world. So the quote that you gave, I think, Raj, last week that I thought was really powerful, and it was about, I think it was, there is an impenetrable mystery in the fact that subjective experience exists in a physiochemical world. And that would be true.
Hmm.
Neuroscientists know that we can turn our emotions, we can change them by stimulating specific areas of in the brain. We hope that this conversation today was helpful in our listeners being able to understand that you are who you say you are. And so it's really important to become aware of who you say you are. And then to make conscious choices to be more present in your life if you have a desire to do that. Thank you for joining us on Living Life Powerfully. Please join us next week for an inspiring conversation. Have a great day.
Have a wonderful week.